Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on AFR. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker, and now Steve Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
What was I going to say? This is Reformation Day. You doing a story on that for AFR or somebody over there?
Maybe. I don't know. It's not going to be me because it should be me, but because that's my beat. But I hadn't planned on it. But if
Reformation's your beat, or
The church and church issues. So yes, yeah. Tim, I'm going to be doing.
Well, Alex McFarland had some good comments about that. Steal those from our show.
You will probably be hearing that later on One News Now. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. So, what's your top story?
Well, why don't we, let's just do this right off the top. While you guys were in your last hour, the House voted to formally start impeachment inquiry hearings. It's a vote that's kind of running in place, I think, that really hasn't changed much. But I want to let you hear the totals, and this is what it sounded like when Speaker Pelosi announced it from the podium in the House.
On this vote, the yeas are 232. The nays are 196. The resolution is adopted without objection. The motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
I bet there's some Republicans who say, I got an objection, all right.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Without objection, what does that mean? This must be a technical form.
That's
a technicality.
I heard someone at the end yell objection. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, they passed this.
Did pass it. And again, it's kind of not a, no one expected them.
I think this is going to be a regret of the Democrats that will go in the history books.
Yeah,
if they lose the House next year.
You're going to carry this into the.
I know.
Well, we're about to hit the 2020 election cycle.
Right.
Yeah.
For all practical purposes. January 1, you're in 2020. You know how campaigns are. They start early.
Oh, yeah.
But this is going to drag out into the election season.
Yeah.
Well, because all the Democrats who are running for the nomination of their party are going to have to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to give a big thumbs up to everything the House does
in
a partisan way.
Yeah. I'm kind of getting bored with this topic. Can we move on to something else here?
It's up to Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, the president says
says we move on, we move on.
By the way, the president's moving on to Tupelo tomorrow night.
Oh, he is. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
As will
too.
I.
Me too.
Me three.
Yeah.
There you go.
So he's going to can you still get tickets for that, or is it full?
I'm not sure. If you can get tickets,
because there are people listening to us within driving distance who may want to come to the rally.
Yes, if there are tickets available there,
where would you find them?
They would be at the campaign's website.
Trump campaign or Tate Reeves?
At the President Trump's campaign's website.
Tate Reeves is the lieutenant governor of Mississippi who's running for governor, and that's the primary reason that President Trump is coming to Tupelo.
Yes.
Is to campaign
And we do not endorse candidates or campaigns, but we're just stating that an event will be held in Tupelo tomorrow.
Right. I do endorse on a personal level.
Yes.
But we can as a ministry.
Yes.
But, yeah. So we'll see. We'll be able to. The Trump train comes through.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. I don't see how the guy does it. But
in terms of the schedule he keeps.
No way. And all presidents are like that. I'm just saying. But to have it in terms of their demanding schedule.
Right.
I'm just talking about a guy 72. Who, his diet includes a Big Mac.
That's true.
It's his favorite food, I think. All right, Steve, next story.
California fires. Let's update that.
Fires
in California.
That's not funny, but
no.
How you said it was funny to me, because you sounded like you had adopted
a Mississippi accent
there.
I might be doing it by accident.
Osmosis.
I'm not supposed to. As a broadcaster, that's not advised.
It's not a far.
But... I have been living here now for 4 years. So more fires in California. Evacuations were ordered in the middle of the night in San Bernardino last night, as that fires in Northern California are getting a better hand on the Kincaid fire. Yesterday they had like decade high winds, the highest they've had in a decade, with hurricane force winds, which really hurt their efforts. But today and for the next foreseeable future, the weather is going to be kind of turning. But this is what I want to bring to you today. We have the story of the heroes of the Reagan Library. You know that the Reagan Library in Simi Valley was getting close,
right.
But the flames were turned away. But it turns out that yes, the firefighters were there and it helped. But you know who the real heroes are? Every May, the locals bring in 500 goats to eat up the landscape around the Reagan Library, and it was culled and low because the goats were there. So the goats saved the Reagan Library, I'm here to say.
So are we going to have to change that metaphor?
Well, goat is an acronym, and they're the best goats of all time, if that's what you
mean. No, maybe it's an acronym and not a metaphor, or maybe it's both. When people say they made him the goat, it's a negative, right?
Right.
No, it's a positive.
Well, the old way, you if you're the goat, you're the villain.
Like a scapegoat.
Right. Yeah,
right.
That's right. You are the one who costs the game.
But now they're using goat as in
a positive.
Is a positive as in
all caps.
All caps.
Greatest of all time.
Of all time, goat. Right. And they would like Tom Brady, who I read in CBS is might be with the Los Angeles Chargers next year.
Well, we're weaving and bobbing on this story, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
I'm trying to connect the dots, Steve,
between
Reagan Library goat and Brady going to the Chargers.
Yes. Well, Simi Valley is not too far from where Brady would be playing. Let me just wrap that up in a bow tie.
So what you're saying is actually a little bit of a rebuke to the environmentalists in California who never want any brush cleared or any trees chopped down. And what these goats have, the use of these goats has proven is that you can at least hinder the spread of fire if you keep everything cut back.
You can. Mm-hmm. You can. Unless.
You're welcome, Steve.
Thank you.
I brought the conversation back to
He did.
Unless
focus.
Unless you're former Governor Jerry Brown. If you're former Governor Jerry Brown, he is blaming congressional Republicans in Washington for the fires in California.
Wow. Shocked.
Talk about weaving and bobbing.
Yeah. He said the reason California is burning is because Republicans in Washington have not paid attention to global warming.
You know, every once in a while I have this thought that comes to mind, and it's not a pleasant one, but I would just say in this situation, just shut up. And my mom did not allow me to say that growing up. But you're now middle-aged. I'm a middle-aged grown man. And I'm fixing to unleash just shut up on Jerry Brown.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Wasn't he once referred to as Moonbeam?
Yes.
Yes.
This is why.
Governor Moonbeam.
This is why.
Right.
Blame the Washington Republicans for wildfires in California because they are pro-global warming.
He says,
that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He says, blood is on their souls.
Oh, shut up.
No, you're lying. He didn't say that.
He said, blood is on your souls. And this is a governor who supports the butchering of unborn children.
Yeah.
Right.
Please shut up.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. At some point, the people of California have to wake up and go,
do they? But do they?
Do they have?
But do they really?
When your home is burning, you have to say why. Why every year around the same time, I have to evacuate.
Yeah, well.
Nobody else is doing this.
Here's the thing.
Arizona's not burning.
It is. It does burn, but it doesn't
but
burn nearly
like
as.
Yeah, not California.
No. And here's the thing. California, PG&E, I'm talking to my kin back in Santa Cruz area where I grew up, and some of them were without power again. We're having roving blackouts. We're having inflation going through the roof, or at least housing prices, the cost of living unbearable. And we're having burning with the PG&E is not able to update their infrastructure because there's no money. California is turning into Venezuela. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, now, when you talked to your family back in California about this subject, did you ask them about the FARs?
I asked them about the FARs.
You asked them about the FARs?
You know, they're
how far to where? What?
The unaffordability of housing in California is unbelievable. For example, you look for like a 2 to 3 bedroom home. Now, it's a new build. You're talking like $700,000.
At least, depending on where in California.
Yeah, you're talking like
more than that.
Like,
even more.
You're talking like $250 to $300 a square foot.
Yes.
And it's unaffordable. Mm-hmm. And I think you've said before, it's the haves and the have-nots. Either you're there.
Well, it is affordable to some people, but you're right, to the masses.
Either you're there and you're doing well, and you're probably a millionaire.
Or you're living under a bridge.
Or you're living under a bridge in
Los
Angeles.
Or you've been there for dozens of years, and you got a mortgage back in the 70s when you can afford to stay.
There's a middle class in California, sure. But every year it's getting smaller and smaller.
Oh, you're right.
I'll just say that a house that I could buy in Mississippi for $215,000 where I grew up would be $1.6 million.
Yes,
wow,
that's right.
In Santa Cruz.
I know, Allison, my wife and I, we watch that HGTV sometimes. Not every night, but we'll watch a Fixer Upper or
right.
Whatever, a couple Property Brothers, a couple of those shows, and they'll be out in California building doing a house, and you look at it and it just looks like a shed or something, huh? And my Allison will go, yeah, she shed. Hey, you better be careful right there. Yeah. It's live radio. But anyway, Allison, every once in a while, she'll say, look at this. This is like a hen house. and they want $800,000 for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just insane.
In Oakland, they literally sold a condemned house for like $600,000. Now, it was on a small lot. It was for the property, but that's what they paid for the house, a condemned house.
Well, like you were saying, the fact of the matter is that I lost the thought. I had something.
Because I kept interrupting you.
That's okay. It probably wasn't going to be very.
Well, since you can't get your thought, I'll keep interrupting you. Now, you brought in a story a few months ago. May have been several months ago, but it was about how California is now regulating solar panels on all housing. Whether you renovate, if you go to get a construction permit, you either have to retrofit the house with a solar panel, or new builds put a solar panel on it.
They passed that?
Yes, that's law.
I think it is.
And that is those things are expensive.
Yeah.
For solar panels.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, in rural America, and by rural I mean small town America, it's the best value for housing, because
you're not talking solar panels, are you?
No, I'm talking about houses.
Housing. Okay.
I mean, you can buy where we live here in Northeast Mississippi. You can get an acre and a half, a 2,500 square foot new home, 3 bedrooms. And you're gonna pay $275, maybe $300, something like that.
Yeah.
You can move away from California. You can never move back.
We're right. Our market in Northeast Mississippi is going between $100 and $115 a square foot. $115 a square foot.
I tell you another place where this is insane is in the Washington D.C. area.
Yeah.
I had a guy take me out. This is a few years back. He said,
let's go take a look.
He showed me this old house that was like 40 years old and maybe 3 bedrooms sitting on a quarter of an acre, right up against the street. And he said, that's $750,000 right there. You know,
huh? Quarter of an acre?
Yeah, I just pitched tent. I'll be honest with you.
Or an RV.
I'm not doing that. I think that's immoral.
You've drawn a line?
Yeah, I've drawn a line right there. Go ahead.
I was just going to say,
you got something else?
And I do remember now what I was going to say, but there are people out there who are so unbelievably rich, they just live in a whole different world. Now, Diane and I have watched some of these kind of shows, HGTV, and where people are buying like their third home, like a vacation home.
Oh, I know.
And they said, our budget's only $1.2 million. You know, that kind of thing. I watch that. I just go, you're kidding me. Now, just a personal story.
It's more than you make in a month.
Yes. There's more than twice what I make in a month. My dad told me when he lived in Boca Raton with his wife in Florida, and his sister, my aunt, and her husband were living there when my dad was moving down there. They took them around Boca Raton, and they said, this kind of like you're talking about, this house here on the corner, right. It was a mansion. $5 million was up for sale. Some guy from like Qatar or someplace over in the Middle East bought it, tore down the $5 million mansion so he could build something that was like $7 million. He wanted the lot.
Yeah.
Now, when he told me that, I said, that is just insane amounts of money.
You got too much money right there.
You've got too much money.
I believe in socialism at that
point. All of a sudden, yeah, it's starting.
At that point, I want what half of what he has.
But you know,
you know why? Because he'll never miss it.
Yes.
Right. The one thing that gets under my skin when you're watching these shows where they're renovating homes or buying homes is when they have a budget like $1.5 million.
Yes, I know.
And the realtor brings them a home that's like 1.52,
yeah.
And they go, no, there's no way.
there's a line we can't cross.
There's absolutely no way we can afford that.
Right.
And I'm thinking, come on, that's like an extra $2 a month on your mortgage.
If you can afford 1.5, you can afford 1.52.
I imagine you guys are wondering what Greta Thunberg is up to.
Oh, yes.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Is she the happy Swede?
She's the happy Swede who sailed over.
Yeah. How dare you?
Okay.
How dare you?
Is she Danish or Swedish?
She's Swedish.
Swedish.
Okay.
And, by the way, she's in California. Is it a coincidence that all the fires are starting when she's in California?
Oh, just her gaze alone.
I think that her
ignited.
How dare you gaze is starting fires.
What do gaze have to do with this? What are y'all talking about?
No.
Gaze.
G-A-Z-E.
Oh,
G-A-Z-E.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Misunderstood.
She has been awarded the Nordic Council of Environmental Prize. The Nordic Council's Environmental
Award. You're kidding. Disinvited me.
They did?
Yes, and that's why.
They took your award
reward
away
and they gave it to her.
There's still a chance because she has declined the prize.
Well, then they need to call me back.
You're cornered now, Tim. She says the climate movement does not need any more awards. What we need is for our politicians and people in power to start listening to the current best science available. Talks about how Sweden and Norway and the Baltic companies live like there's four worlds. And so she says,
she's not getting a date to the prom.
I choose not.
Ahead. Say your expression, Tim.
What's that?
What you said to Jerry Brown. See if your mom's going to call you at some point. You say shut up again.
Yeah, shut up. Yeah, okay. Well, can we do it twice in one show?
It's your mom.
I would say to her, just shut up.
I choose not to accept the Nordic Council's Environmental Award nor the prize of $500,000, 500,000 Swedish kroner. I don't know how much that is. But
somewhere, what is she, 14?
Yeah, 15.
That'll buy her a solar panel in California.
Somewhere. What's her name? Greta?
Greta Thunberg.
Now, this is the young lady who stood up at the United Nations, right? Or was it the United Nations?
Yes, United Nations. And got it
after sailing across the Atlantic.
Yes. Right. She took the thun out of Thunberg.
Yeah, and her whole thing is global, man-made global warming,
yes.
And she's trying to scold everybody.
I think she really lives in fear.
I should be in California watching the fires.
Now you're sounding like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
She really believes this stuff. I don't doubt that she does. I'm talking about man-made global warming and climate change.
You lost your train of thought.
No, I didn't. I'm just seeing that she's probably having some circle of friends problems at school. Okay, they've probably shrunk down.
Yeah.
And
being that she's never at school because she's touring the world. Yeah. I don't know.
Bingo.
Because she sounds like the kind of person where, having a little bonfire and roasting marshmallows.
Hey, did you invite Greta?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I completely forgot.
She shows up. How dare you?
Put the car out now.
Carbon.
Put it out.
She's not going to ask him. She's going to put it out.
You know how much emission that marshmallow releases.
And then they ask her to go to the movies, and she says, "We will not ride in the car."
That's right. And not at night. Well,
if I can sail my boat.
Now right, I'm starting to sound like a Nazi.
We've spent a minute and a half making fun of a little teenage girl from Sweden. That's probably inappropriate.
Oh,
at least the rest of us. Yeah, at least the rest of us didn't on. Tell her to shut
surely,
up.
Surely we can find an adult to mock.
All right. Hey, next time Abe is in here, I'm going kind of from the ridiculous to the sublime. This happened. I want to bring you what happened in a hearing. A confirmation hearing for a gentleman who's up for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. His name is Lawrence Van Dyke, and he got a letter from the ABA, the American Bar Association, that said that he is not qualified to sit on the bench. Now, that never happens from the ABA unless someone has been brought up on ethics violations or something, but he hasn't. The reason is because he has a biblical view of sexuality. Missouri Congressman Josh Hawley brought this up, and I want you to hear his response.
Mr. Van Dyke, you ran for Montana Supreme Court in 2014. Is that correct?
I did.
And people made contributions and supported you and supported your opponents. Is that correct?
They did, Senator.
Marsha Davenport, Montana attorney, donated to your opponent in the 2014 Montana Supreme Court election. Do you know who Marsha Davenport is?
She's the one who interviewed me for the ABA, Senator.
Ah, so she is the one who actually oversaw this process, the ABA letter, is that right?
That is my understanding.
She was the lead reviewer for this, is that correct?
That's my understanding.
She donated to your political opponent in 2014, is that correct?
Yeah, I found it out.
And yet the ABA put her in charge of the review process. Am I right about that?
It appears so to me, Senator.
The letter also says you would not commit to being fair to litigants before you, notably members of the LGBTQ community. Can you speak to that? Did you say that you wouldn't be fair to members of the LGBT community?
Senator, that was the part of the letter. I did not say that. I apologize.
It's all right.
I'm sorry. No, I did not say that. I do not believe that. It is a fundamental belief of mine that all people are created in the image of God. They should all be treated with dignity and respect.
That's someone who takes his job seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me just say this, too. By the way, I commend the judge there for stating that, as he did, heartfelt response. Because we've gotten calloused to that accusation, because when you're called a hate group every day,
right,
you know, you kind of get used to it. Good morning, your hate group.
Right.
You know, the sun comes up, your hate group.
Yeah.
So anyway, but they it's
talking about AFA.
Yeah, talking about AFA, but it's false accusations. What they mean by that, and what they're accusing this judge of. But if you disagree with their lifestyle, therefore you are a hate, you're a hater or a hate group. But let me just say this. I am really impressed by the freshman senator from Missouri, mm-hmm. Josh Hawley. Mm-hmm. That guy, he's a rock star, man, waiting to happen. Well, he's on the rise. He's an opening act right now.
Right.
But he's going to be the main attraction before long.
That was, what a perfect line of questioning to expose the absolute hypocrisy and bias of the American Bar Association.
Yeah, they're left wing.
They're going to become like the SPLC if they're not careful. Yeah. Where nobody trusts their word. They have no credibility.
No credibility. Yeah. And they used to have a lot of credibility.
Yes.
All right, Steve, thanks so much.
A pleasure.
Our thanks to Brent for running the controls today, Walker and Ed and Fred for their contributions. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. And we invite you to stay tuned. The Bible teaching of
Alistair Begg
is straight ahead. See you tomorrow, everybody.